A little lean.
Mr. Schlesinger, could you tell us some of your courtship and marriage?
Certainly.
Yeah, what, where, my thing, oh, here it is.
In,
you're on page four. Good.
In 1936, I met a beautiful girl by the name of Violet Ziff. And
Yeah. 1930 was that?
1936.
36.
I met a beautiful girl by the name of Violet Ziff, who we lived on Northumberland Street and she lived on Malvern Avenue.
Oh.
And for some reason or other, I was a little slow in following through, but finally I called her one day and I said, how would you like to go somewhere? And we went, and from then on, we just kept seeing each other constantly. And finally, we announced our engagement, and we were married.
Did she come from a similar background as you, Lithuanian, or?
Well, yes. Well, she came with a similar background. Her mother was from a very religious family. The father himself was a religious man, but in the father's family there were a few people that weren't so religious. As a matter of fact, when we get to that, I'll tell you about the father's family later.
Okay.
What year were you married?
1937.
1937. Was it June?
June 24th.
Good man. Very good.
And when we were married, I was active in my law fraternity, and we did quite a bit of traveling because we would go to all the conventions, wherever they would be, in Cleveland, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, and other places. Later on, I became affiliated with, I was doing defense negligence, and I became affiliated with the Federation of Insurance Counsel. And we would meet all over the world. So we would take trips and combine going to the Federation of Insurance Council meetings and the American Bar Association meetings. We went trips across Canada to Banff and Lake Louise and Vancouver, and then we had a convention there with the Federation of Insurance Council. Then we would go down to San Francisco where the American Bar Association would meet there. And other times, we went to Texas, we went to many times to Philadelphia on these trips, and we did a lot of traveling. We had a very enjoyable marriage. I was in the Army, as I say, 2 years and 2 months.
Did your wife live with her family then?
When I went to the Army, we went to Texas, and my wife came to Texas while we were taking basic training, and she stayed there in Texas until we got word that we were going to go overseas. So she came back to Pittsburgh and moved back with her family, and she stayed with her family till I came back from service. And when I came back from service, we then bought a home on Shady Avenue Extension. That's up in the hill there. And we lived there about 5 years. And then I bought a home in the 6600 block of Wilkins Avenue. And we lived there. We lived there until my wife had a heart attack, and then back from the hospital, I showed her an apartment at the Park Plaza, and she told me before she would go into an apartment that had to have a restaurant in the building, no work to be done in the apartment, and a fully attended building, and the Park Plaza just worked out beautifully. So I took her to the apartment had just been redone, most gorgeous work that was done, completely rebuilt. I'll have to show it to him sometime to show what a woman did with an apartment, because she spent a fortune in redoing it. And it's still a beautiful place.
Do you have family? Do you have children?
No children. Mm-hmm. Nieces and nephews. Uh-huh.
That was nice. Your wife was able.
Now, as I told you about my father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Brother's son was a fellow by the name of William B. Ziff. William B. Ziff was in the magazine and so forth business and was a very successful operator. He was a Jabotinsky Zionist. He was a revisionist. And he was barred from Israel. But just a year ago, one of the writers from Israel wrote a big article about him and said that he should be honored by Israel because of what he did. He foresaw what was going to happen in the concentration camps and in the Israel mandate. But he went to Truman and had things changed. And his son now is William B. Ziff, Jr., and he is the 40th person on the the reports of the richest people.
Oh, on the Forbes.
Forbes list.
Wow. Oh, how did he get his money?
From the magazine business.
Really?
Matter of fact, he bought Benny. Well, he still has Popular Mechanics and a lot of these things, and he built up an empire, and he bought quite a bit of ventures from the Berkman family, and then he later sold part of the business to CBS and part to the English operator. And
who just died? Maxwell.
Not Maxwell, to the Gentile English operator. With an M, his name was also with an M.
What is his first name again?
William B. Ziff, Jr.
Where does he live?
He operates in Florida. I guess he lives in Florida. I have his picture when he was 2 years old. He doesn't know me.
Really?
Well, you never tried to see him?
No, well, this boy actually bought a business that this Ben Rosen's son's wife sold him a business, this here computer business, and she knows him.
Hmm.
I have a whole collection of stuff that I have to. My wife was very close with the father.
It's Sandy Rosen.
Sandy.
Yeah,
Sandy
I know Rosen. Him. Sure. Well, I don't have straight William Ziff's father.
William Ziff's father was, and my father-in-law were brothers.
Oh, they were brothers.
William Ziff Jr.'s grandfather.
Yes.
And my father-in-law were brothers.
Oh, your father-in-law.
That's interesting. Could you contrast the neighborhoods then you when you came here in 1929? Could you contrast some of the neighborhoods? You lived in the Squirrel Hill area, obviously, well, then, now, and then economically, well, culturally, politically?
Well, we lived in the 5400 block of Northumberland Street, mm-hmm. which was as good a neighborhood as you for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a top neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The properties on Northumberland Street have gone up considerably from what they were in those days. And my father bought the home at 5419 Northumberland Street for $26,500. We later sold it after my mother father passed away and my mother moved out. We later sold it to Harold Schmidt from Rose Schmidt and Dixon, and he lived there. I don't know what he sold it for when he sold it, but properties across the street, up the street, bigger ones on bigger lots, sell today for $400,000.
That's Northumberland?
Mm-hmm. But you go on Northumberland Street between the first cross street above Northumberland and go towards Whiteman, and you get some tremendous, big, valuable properties.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a very long and illustrious business life.
Yes, I have.
Could you tell us about it, please?
Sure. When I first started practice law in 1929, I practiced law with attorney by the name of Frank Sack, S-A-C-K. We were classmates, and we went into an office with his brother-in-law, a gentleman by the name of Isidore Bernstein. And there was a lawyer there by the name of Louis Fushan, F-U-S-H-A-N, who is still living, and he was very active at Pitt. He was a gentleman that used to write the cap and gown shows every year. He still lives on Norwood Avenue. And from there, I went to practice in the Berger Building. That was in the Jones Law Building. In the Berger Building, I practiced law with a gentleman by the name of Erwin Ringgold, who later was a Bar Association president, and he was a very active man at the Tree of Life. And then from then, I went into the Army. When I came back from the Army, and Frank Sack and I went with an insurance company that was being operated by Nathaniel Cann, Keystone Mutual Casualty Company.
What was Frank's last name again?
S-A-C-K.
S-A...
And Bessie Sack?
That's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, you talk about Bessie Sack, I early in my history, when this is before going to, with Bessie Sack, early in my history, I've talked about when I did work for the banking department, and Bessie Sack was a deputy attorney general. But anyhow, now, after I came back from the Army in 45, about in 47, then I went back into the practice of general law. And that, at that time, I was practicing with Ringgold, and Bessie Sack was in her office, and she was a deputy attorney general, and I did work for the banking department in court every day, and they paid me $125 a month, and she would pay me separately for additional work that I did. And money, you didn't make money so easy in those days. You worked hard for it.
Would you elaborate on your association with Nat Can? I see associated with some of the buildings that he built.
Yes, well, see, then, after I went into the practice of law, I continued to represent Nat Can. And Nat Can, and I represented people by the name of Behrman and Passell, Behrman and Passell.
And how do you spell Can?
K-A-N-N. And Behrman, B-E-H-R-M-A-N, and Passell. And they were the first real movers in constructing apartment houses in the city of Pittsburgh. And I handled all of their legal work in connection with complying with FHA requirements and all kind of borrowings. And Nat Can built and owned buildings like the Kenilworth,
oh, really?
The Bigelow, College Gardens, and Behrman and Passell. Behrman and Passell owned the Shenley House. They owned 5100 Fifth Avenue.
Wow.
Not 5,000, 5100 Fifth
Avenue.
Yeah,
I know it well.
They owned the Neville House. They owned Fifth and Negley apartments there at Fifth and Negley. They owned a few smaller apartments.
5700 Fifth.
5700 Fifth.
Oh, really?
And so I watched the city grow. When I walked down the street, I can tell you I had something to do with this building.
Hmm.
And matter of fact, I was also involved in the Kenmar. Although when I got involved in the Kenmar, it was already built. But Behrman and Passell took over the Kenmar.
Mm-hmm.
So, an old history of the big apartment buildings, I know a lot about.
Did you invest in any of these?
No. I did invest in some property, of course, and I, matter of fact, these were belonged exclusively to these individuals. They had no partners.
Mm. Do they still own those?
Well, Behrman and Passell are both deceased, and they no longer own any of those.
Oh, really?
We made a lot of deals with, and then when Behrman and Passell sold them off, we sold a lot of them to Kosis.
Right. No.
And we sold others to other groups, and we had quite a bit of dealings with Harry Carlson representing other people, and all of the properties that belonged to Can were sold before he died, and all of the properties that belonged to Behrman and Passell were sold some after, before they died, and some after they died.
How do you spell Passell?
P-A-S-S-E-L-L.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you become associated with the firm you are with now?
With this firm.
Which is Marcus.
Then I had my nephew working for me by the name of Errol Miller. And in 19... 78, I decided that I was going to make a change. And I met with a firm then. The name of the firm was Kaufman and Harris. It was Sam Kaufman and Milton Harris. Now, actually, I had gone to law school with Milton Harris, who was quite an entrepreneur. When he went to law school, he had a tailoring business, and then later he was in the trucking business and very successful in the trucking business. And then he went back into law, but he didn't practice very long. He died a young man, and I became associated with that firm. And from Kaufman and Harris, the firm, when Kaufman left our organization, see, the firm name was changed to Titus Kaufman and Harris. Kaufman. Yeah. And it was then changed to Titus. Titus Marcus, Titus and Marcus, and then where there was a further split up, and the firm became Titus, Marcus, and Shapiro, and then Titus left, and the firm is now Marcus and Shapiro. And that's the history of that.
Who was Marcus?
Bernard Marcus.
And Shapiro?
Daniel Shapiro. That's David Shapiro's brother.
Is that any relative to the Giant Eagle,
yes,
Shapiro?
We represent, yes, Giant Eagle. We represent Farmer.
Oh, really?
We represent all their affiliates.
I see.
During the big strike,
yes,
we had at least 11 lawyers in court in different places all the time. Because we have 23 lawyers, about 7 paralegals.
You've been associated mostly with Jewish attorneys and a lot of the Jewish businesses.
Well, in this office here, mm-hmm, there are less Jewish attorneys than, mm-hmm, Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But mostly throughout your career, was that by choice? Was that by opportunity? By necessity?
Well, I should say that at one time when I practiced law individually, I was ready to change my name to put a no on the end, because my associates in the office were people by the name of Albo, A-L-B-O, Catanzaro, and Conflenti. And I was changing my name to Schlesinger. We were individual practitioners, mm-hmm, but we were together in the law and finance world. And in one of our permanent guests there was Judge Zavarella's father, and his name was Zavarella. As a matter of fact, Zavarella is one that sent me
a letter of commendation.
From the President Judge, the Court of Common Pleas. In honor of your 60 years of meaningful law practice.
What year was that?
This was in 1980. Now you are now entering your 63rd year of practice, and you are here every day.
Oh yes.
Full days.
Yes, and there's from the President of the Bar Association.
Oh, isn't that nice? That is quite unusual.
Speaks well.
That's marvelous. When you look,
and then here's my picture, okay, taken in here when the Pittsburgh Press wrote me up on that second page of the paper. See, the my picture, the, you know.
Yeah, I saw that. Isn't that clever?
Oh, I didn't see that.
The reflection
like
in
that.
The table.
Wow, that's wonderful. Reflecting on 63 years has to be totally awesome.
It's not awesome to me.
What are there
through,
a few?
You see, I try to take things in stride.
Mm-hmm.
I was in danger many times in the war.
Mm-hmm.
We were close to combat lines. We could see the battles in the air. But I try to take things in stride.
What do you think are your best accomplishments?
Well, as a lawyer, my best accomplishment mm-hmm. was as a lawyer.
No, I meant in the law.
Well, I was an outstanding real estate lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and now I do a lot of estate planning mm-hmm. and probate work.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do some real estate work.
Was there any one thing that stands out as something
well,
that really...
Well, when I see these buildings, they stood
yes.
out.
Right.
Matter of fact, I told when I was interviewed before, I told them that when I walk out on the street, I see that I accomplished something, and that stands
That's
out of my mind.
Literally monumental.
Wait, would you mention of some of the buildings that you were connected with?
We already have that.
Oh, yes. Do we?
She's got them. She's got them complete.
Okay.
You obviously worked in many civic organizations and religious organizations.
Well, in civic organizations, I didn't work too much, no. At the present time, I'm on the board of trustees at the UJF, where we handle disposition of funds in these various trusts and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the legal committee of the Tree of Life and did work in the legal committee on there. But as far as I'm a member of many organizations,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. I'm a contributor to many.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't put myself as being an active meeting goer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say now that you're doing a lot of work with estate planning and
right.
probates. Is there something significant or for the future with the UJF fund that you foresee since you are so innovative?
Well, you mean what's going on now with the UJF about about what's going to happen to their trust funds? Is that what you're talking about?
No, maybe I'm thinking of either your contribution your hope for it.
Well, as a matter of fact, they are a very large beneficiary mm-hmm. under the terms of my will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's your private. Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. And uh-huh. I have created a fund when my wife mm-hmm. passed away, which is a substantial fund,
mm-hmm.
The same thing with the University of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I created a scholarship fund there.
Would you tell us more about that?
See,
I see that you have written up recently in the University of Pittsburgh Law School Centennial
right.
book. Could you tell us about that,
well,
please?
Well, I created a fund at the University of Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and the income from the fund they give to a student that needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
They don't touch the principal, and the fund just started as a small fund.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a beneficiary in my will, too. And when you do that, you become a member of the 1787 Society.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to the old days. I'm respected there, and the dean and I get along very well.
That's nice. Are there any other thoughts that you had for Federation, you know, regarding other people?
The only thing that I do with the Federation
mm-hmm.
is I'm on this one committee, Mm-hmm. And when we have meetings, there are about mm-hmm. 18 people at those meetings. Mm-hmm. And generally, of the 18, probably 9 are lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Israel?
No.
And you never felt a desire?
Well, I was on my way one time to Israel, and we talked about Cannes, because he was going to build a Hilton Hotel in Israel. And the deal fell through, so I didn't go.
Oh. I thought he was instrumental in the original...
Well, he got instrumental in it.
Okay.
He got instrumental, but he didn't build it.
I see. He just helped in the planning.
Planning.
I see.
But he was going to... You knew a lot of background there. Mm-hmm. See, so you know a lot of things that I didn't know you knew.
Mm-hmm. It just... all the worlds come together, don't they? It's interesting.
Well, my sister-in-law, Reuben's wife, has been there a couple times. Mm-hmm. And she has had a tragedy in her family. 38-year-old girl that... died in two days.
Oh.
That's Reuben's daughter, Sarah Smith, a lawyer in Harrisburg.